visiting with us. We're so glad that you chose to worship with us here today. We'd like to welcome those of you who are also watching and listening live right now online. It's great to have you with us. We are in the fifth week of a series, Fall Back, Move Forward. And we have one more week left to go in this series. And then the following week, in 2 weeks, Cresco Mission will be here. Cresco Mission ministers to people who have addictions with alcohol or drugs. And we will have some testimonies here up on stage where I will interview some of the people that are in that program and what God is doing in their lives and how He's moving in their hearts. And they'll share some of their stories. And a great weekend to be here. We'll also have our Thanksgiving meal after that service. So you don't want to miss 2 weeks from now here at church. And so in this series, we've been in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. If you've never read those books in your Bible, I want to encourage you to read those books. Great books full of great stories. And we're kind of looking at a few of the stories, a few of the snapshots, key verses, key passages. And if you want a bigger overview and picture and want to go a little bit deeper, I want to encourage you to do that. Well, last week, we left off with the prophet Nathan confronting David. David not only committed adultery, but murder. Those are two sins I'm not above committing myself. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, "But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." He also said, "If you're even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment." Who here has never looked at the opposite sex lustfully? Who here has never been angry with someone? Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, "Not a single person on earth is always good and never sins." David certainly sinned, and there were consequences for his sin. First, he lost the child he had with Bathsheba. And second, a son in his own household would rebel against him. This son would sleep with David's concubines in public. David did it in secret, and now this son would do it in public view. Who was this son? You know the story. Absalom. So that's the story we're going to look at today and unpack today and see if we can't learn a few lessons from that story. Let's pick up where we left off last week in 2 Samuel chapter 13. Here, 2 Samuel chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. "Now David's son, Absalom, had a beautiful sister named Tamar. And Amnon, her half-brother, fell desperately in love with her. Amnon became so obsessed with Tamar that he became ill. She was a virgin, and Amnon thought he could never have her." Here's a question for you. What is it you're obsessed with today? What is it that you can't get off of your mind and off of your heart, that you just keep rolling it over, playing it back in your mind? You've, in essence, become obsessed with it. We saw in this opening video this lady here who wanted perfection, was seeking perfection. I must admit, perfection is a problem for me. I am OCD by nature, obsessive, compulsive, and when I get something on my mind, I cannot stop thinking about it, and I always want everything in my life to be perfect, whatever it is. And perfection is really a goal that is unachievable. I mean, even when we get there, we're usually only there for like a brief second in time, right? And yet we want things to be perfect. perfect in our lives. Again, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 1:15, what is wrong cannot be made right. What is missing cannot be recovered. And yet I want so bad for things to be right in my life. I want so bad to recover the things that I lost. What's wrong in your life? What is wrong in your life today? What are you looking to get back? What are you looking to recover? Joel 2:25, the Lord says this, I will give you back what you lost. I'll give you back what you lost to the swarming locust, the hopping locust, the stripping locust, and the cutting locust. It was I who sent this destroying army against you. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like you've been swarmed, hopped on, stripped, and cut down. Maybe you feel that way this morning. Why would the Lord allow or even send this thing into our lives? This thing that's weighing heavily on you this morning. Why would the Lord allow it or even send it into our lives? Perhaps, because we became obsessed with something we were never meant to be obsessed with. The good news is, He promises to give us back what we lost. He promises to give us back what we lost. However, often, it's not without personal pain and anguish. And David would experience both. Personal pain and anguish because of his sin. What happened next in our story? Let's read on. Let's jump right back in. Verse 3. But Ammon had a very crafty friend, his cousin Jonadab. He was the son of David's brother Shimeah. One day, Jonadab said to Ammon, what's the trouble? Why should the son of a king look so dejected morning after morning? So Ammon told him, I'm in love with Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Well, Jonadab said, I'll tell you what to do. Go back to bed and pretend you are ill. Pretend you're sick. When your father comes in to see you, ask him to let Tamar come and prepare some food for you. Tell him you'll feel better if she prepares it as you watch and feeds you with her own hands. Did David agree to do this? Yes, he did. He sent Tamar to Ammon's house to prepare some food for him. What happened when she prepared the food for him? Ammon grabbed her, and demanded she come to bed with him. How did she respond to this? Verse 12. No, my brother, she cried. Don't be foolish. Don't do this to me. Such wicked things aren't done in Israel. Where could I go in my what? Where could I go in my shame? And you would be called one of the greatest fools in Israel. Please, just speak to the king about it, and he will let you marry me. What does sin cause? Shame. Shame. Why do we choose sin over God? Why do we, you and me, choose sin over God? Well, several reasons. In this case, it was the belief that Ammon couldn't have what he wanted so badly. Now, insert your name there instead of Ammon. The belief that you couldn't have what you want so badly. The belief that I couldn't have what I want so badly. Where does this belief come from that we can't have what we want? Satan. He planted a seed of doubt in Amon's heart. And that's what Satan often does in your heart, in my heart. He plants the seed of doubt. God isn't good. God isn't good. He's holding out on you. This is exactly what Satan told Eve in the Garden of Eden. Right? It's exactly what Satan told Eve in the Garden of Eden. He fed her not only a piece of fruit, but a bunch of lies. You won't die if you eat this fruit from the tree. In fact, you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. Did Amon listen to his half-sister? Did Amon listen to his half-sister? Unfortunately, no. Continuing on in our story, verse 14. But Amon wouldn't listen to her. And since he was stronger than she was, he raped her. Then suddenly, Amon's love turned to hate, and he hated her even more than he had loved her. Get out of here, he snarled at her. Maybe you've done something that you're not proud of. Maybe you've done something that you're not proud of. And because of what you've done, you've become a different person. A person who snarls and is angry. You know, sin has a way of doing that to us. Specifically, changing us from the inside out. All of a sudden, we're lashing out at people all around us. Amon's sin not only affected him, but the entire family. Let's read on, verse 21. When King David heard what had happened, he was very angry. And though Absalom never spoke to Amon about this, he hated Amon deeply because of what he had done to his sister. I imagine so. If someone did this to my sister, I would want to kill them. Right? Where does anger lead to? Where does anger lead to if not dealt with properly? Revenge. Right? Revenge. That's where anger leads to if not dealt with properly. How did Absalom go about plotting his revenge? By preparing a feast for the entire family. David said it would be too much for the entire family to come to this dinner, to this feast. So Absalom requested, if David couldn't come, at least send his brothers. Oh, and Amon, by the way. Make sure Amon comes. What was Absalom planning to do to Amon? Kill him. He'd been planning this for 2 years. How do you know if you have a problem with anger? How do you know if you have a problem with anger? Well, first, you can't stop thinking about them. Right? You can't stop thinking about them. You secretly have a conversation in your head about what you would do or say to them, right? You secretly have this conversation in your head about what you would do or say the next time you saw them. You talk bad about them. You look for opportunities to discredit them or bring them down. Well, what did Absalom tell his men to do at this dinner, at this feast, at this party, if you will? What did Absalom tell his men to do? Let's read on, verse 28. Absalom told his men, "Wait until Amon gets drunk. Then at my signal, kill him. Don't be afraid. I'm the one who has given the command. Take courage and do it." So at Absalom's signal, they murdered Amon. Then the other sons of the king jumped on their mules and fled. They took off. Where did Absalom go after this? Where did he go? He fled the country as well. He got out of town. This is what sin does to us. It causes us to want to run away and hide, right? The very thing we thought would bring closure and bring peace brings separation. How did David react to all this? Well, he mourned several days for his son Amon. And then he longed to be reunited with his son Absalom. Here's a question for you. Who do you long to be reunited with? Who do you long to be reunited with? Is it a spouse? Maybe it's an ex that you think, "I wish I could at least have a civil conversation with them." Maybe it's a mom or dad, a brother or sister, an aunt or uncle, a cousin, a neighbor, a friend, a coworker, a boss. What's preventing this from happening? Is it pride or stubbornness on your part? This is certainly what happened between David and Absalom. David's military commander, Joab, realized this. He saw the rift between these two men, so he devised a plan. Chapter 14, verse 1. Joab realized how much the king longed to see his Absalom. So he sent for a woman from Tekoa who had a reputation for great wisdom. He said to her, "Pretend you are in mourning, wear mourning clothes, and don't put on lotion. Act like a woman who has been mourning for the dead for a long time. Then go to the king and tell him the story I'm about to tell you." Then Joab told her what to say. What did she say? What did she tell King David? What did this woman tell King David? What was the story? She told him that she was a widow, that her husband had died. Her two sons got into a fight, and one of them killed the other. The rest of the family was now demanding that this son who was living, her only son that was left, be killed for executing his brother. However, if this were to happen, the family name would disappear, and her only means of support would be gone. How did David react? He promised her he would protect her son. She then flipped the tables on him and said, "Why don't you do as much for your son?" Jumping right back in verse 13, she replied, "Why don't you do as much for the people of God as you have promised to do for me? You have convicted yourself in making this decision because you have refused to bring home your own banished son." I like this next part. All of us must die eventually. Our lives are like water spilled out on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. But God does not just sweep life away. Instead, He devises ways to bring us back when we have been what? Separated from Him. separated us from God. Romans 3:23, you know the Romans road. For everyone has sinned. We all of us fall short of whose standard? God's glorious standard. We're all in the same boat here. Nobody's better than anybody else. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We deserve to die and go to hell for our sins. That's the bad news. The good news is Romans 5:8. For God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. In other words, God loved you and me when we were at our worst. What do I call this? I call it a gift. Thank you, Lord. The second half of Romans 6:23 says what? But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's a question. Why do we like to receive gifts, but not necessarily give gifts? Why do we like to receive a gift, but not necessarily give a gift? Now, a godly person, Solomon says, loves to give. Maybe you're someone who's very giving, and as Christians, we should all be giving, right? But just work with me for a moment on this. Why do we like to receive a gift, but not necessarily give a gift? Because giving a gift costs us something. I remember when I was trying to figure out how much to spend on Monica's engagement ring. My wife's engagement ring, I was like, I don't know how much to spend. I went to a few jewelry stores and the cuts and the clarity, and I think it started at $500 and went up to like $10,000, $20,000. I was like, well, I love her with all my heart. She deserves the best. I want to give her the best, but where does it end? How much did I spend on this thing? And I obsessed over it. And finally, I asked one of my pastor friends for some advice. And he said to me, well, Ed, it should cost you something. It should cost you something. I then thought about how much money I made at the time and what amount would be a sacrifice for me. And that was the amount I spent. We all know the sacrifice Jesus made for us. His blood. Hebrews 12:4. I like the way that NIV translates this. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. If we were to read on, what would we find out about David? He struggled to forgive his son Absalom. He struggled to forgive his son Absalom. Because he struggled to forgive him, Absalom grew bitter. He grew bitter. This bitterness led to resentment and finally to outright rebellion. Absalom ran David right out of town. He then slept with David's concubines on the roof of his palace in public view for everyone to see. I guess you could say things have come full circle. David slept with Bathsheba in secret, and he tried to cover it up. However, the Lord sees and knows everything. Jesus said it like this in Luke 8:17. For all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought to light and made known to all. Do you have any secrets nobody else knows about? them a gift. What kind of gift? What kind of gift? How about forgiveness? Why would I give them that? Because that's what Jesus gave you and me. About to close here, Matthew 5, verse 45. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For He gives His sunlight to both the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect even as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Here's the thing. What I find is that I'm far from perfect. We started this message talking about being perfect, wanting things to be perfect. What I find is that I'm far from perfect. What does this mean? It means I need help. Those of you who know me are like, yeah, you do that. You do need help. Perhaps you too need help. Where does our help come from? The Lord. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, last verses here. The psalmist says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from who? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The Lord not only made heaven and earth, but He made you for such a time as this. This is your time to shine for Him. Ask God to give you the strength to do what He is calling you to do today. Ask God to give you the strength to do what He is calling you to do today. Maybe that's to repent. Because you got some things you've been hiding away in your heart. Some deep secrets that nobody else knows about. Maybe some things that you've done that you're not proud of. And you need to confess those things to the Lord today. You need to acknowledge them. 1 John 1:9, you know the verse. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. You need to start fresh. You need to start new. And you need to ask God to forgive you for that. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I need to extend forgiveness to someone because of my attitude and the way I've been treating them. I'm not acting like a true child of God. I've been withholding my affection or my love. It's all over my face and my countenance and the way I act. And I know that's not how God wants me to act. Would you pray for me that God would give me the courage to do what I cannot do in my own power and strength? To love this person that I have such a difficult time loving? Would you pray that God would heal me? Because I'm hurting today. And I'm having trouble letting go. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. We're going to give you that opportunity here as we pray. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your word. It's powerful and it's convicting, and sometimes it steps all over our toes. Maybe you're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you would say, Ed, I've never asked Jesus to forgive me for my sins, and I want to do that today. I want to do that right now. If that's you, then I'd like to lead you in a prayer that you pray softly and quietly in your heart as you repeat these words after me, and here they are. Lord Jesus, you know, I need him in my life and for healing to take place and for forgiveness. Help me to give it and embrace it. Lord, I pray for myself and my brothers and sisters in Christ that you would help us